Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Sister Simone Campbell. You may begin.
Thank you so much, Kevin. In Congress at this time, we're facing the possibility of a significant change in our trade policy. The administration has been working for years with the Trans-Pacific Partnership to create a trade agreement that would encompass basically many of the Pacific nations. We in the faith community, while affirming the responsible trade practices for the future, have grave concerns about this agreement that has been negotiated both in secret and without significant participation of those who are affected by such agreements. Today, we're gathering to speak about those agreements as well as the process that is used for approving trade agreements called Fast Track. It's expected that the administration in mid-March will be submitting the draft agreement and pushing for quick approval on the part of Congress. We in the faith community know that our people are adversely impacted by trade agreements negotiated only by those business interests at the top. We believe another way forward is required. Therefore, we've gathered today to share with you some of our perspectives. And I'd like to call first on Reverend Michael Neuroth, who's the policy advocate for international issues for the United Church of Christ. Michael, do you want to address your issues, please?
Yes, thank you, Simone. I'll be talking with you briefly about what we view as the brokenness of trade promotion authority, or as it has come to be known, the fast-track process. It may seem ironic to some to have a religious letter and religious communities calling for a more democratic process. But if you study the history of our traditions, it really should not come as such a surprise. Democratic values are embedded in many, if not all, of our traditions. Certainly in my own tradition, which is the United Church of Christ, which traces its roots back to the early pilgrims and Puritans, democratic values remain at the core of our polity. But I believe this is the case for all of us in some way. We all share the view that God created all of humanity in God's own image, that all God's children have worth, value, and deserve a voice, and especially the poorest among us. Fast Track, we believe, is a shortcut around this democratic process. The examples are that we feel like undercuts the democratic process is that if enacted, Fast Track would limit Congress to only 90 days to study the hundreds of pages within the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. It would limit debate to 20 hours on the floor. It would prohibit any hearings, prohibit any amendments. The public must be allowed to see and comment on the provisions that impact our economic life as a nation. As a faith community, we are united in our opposition to Fast Track and believe that this shortcut is not consistent with the democratic values of our nation or the moral values of our faith traditions. We need better trade agreements and trade promotion authority, or Fast Track. In our view, Fast Track does not further this objective.
Thank you so much for speaking so clearly about the faith concern with Fast Track. Second, we have Reverend J. Herbert Nelson from the Presbyterian Office of Public Witness. J. Herbert, could we hear from you, please?
Yes, thank you, Sister Simone. The Presbyterian Church, USA, has continued to affirm the issues of democracy, and since really the beginning of the constituting documents of this country, through John Witherspoon, who was in fact a Presbyterian clergy. We're also reminded that the intention of these documents was about including individuals, private citizens as well, in processes of the ongoing development of this nation and in its relationship with other nations. One of the great challenges that we are witnessing right now with Fast Track is the enormity of its coverage across the globe. The recognition that there are some 11 other countries that will be involved that make up the Pacific Rim, and the recognition that all of these partnerships will encompass about 40% of all global trade. With that in mind, it becomes vitally important that we struggle for a trade agreement that represents partnership and does not represent domination by one country that may in fact hold more power over others. This, we are struggling with what the context of globalization means in this particular day and age, and as we engage this awakening toward globalization and the need to reach out to global partners, it becomes vitally important that we are both fair in our negotiations and in our understanding as to what it means to be spiritually, culturally, politically aware of the human welfare of all dimensions of a policy such as this Trans-Pacific Partnership. I want to suggest that the President has indicated that in pressing this forward and getting a vote as quickly as possible, if Congress were to agree to that, that in some way it undercuts the real issues around democracy, and certainly democracy at its core. Granting fast-track authority to the President could make our country enter into an agreement that will violate the sovereignty of other governments as well as our own. And if this agreement follows the path of former agreements, it will authorize the validity of investor-state disputes where foreign corporations can sue governments for passing legislation that is harmful to their profits, along with the potential damage from investor-state disputes. The partnership will most likely continue to increase the export of American jobs overseas. We have seen flawed trade agreements going back to NAFTA and how it has not only left or brought about a sense of damage in our own country and jobs being exported, but we have also seen the exploitation that has taken place and has really driven to some degree individuals to our own border seeking economic freedom. And then we have also had the labor violations in Colombia that our office and other offices seriously protested against, knowing that this was going to not only increase the struggles of those who were fighting for labor and fairness in labor practices in Colombia, but the number of deaths that were taking place. We cannot continue with these flawed trade agreements and certainly cannot do this in an undercover manner that pushes away from the very people who elected these individuals to office to represent their interests. And those individuals who are left, the common citizen, whose interest is being represented, are left out of the process. It is fundamentally oppositional to what we believe and what is stated in our constituting documents around the issues of democracy. Government of the people, for the people, and by the people, becomes government of the corporation, of those who are rich in wealthy, and by those corporations and individuals seeking tax breaks who already have wealth. We need to challenge this at every core, and certainly the Presbyterian Church USA, along with other partners in our circle, some of which you are hearing from today on this call, are able and are willing at this time to challenge these issues.
Thank you so much, Reverend Nelson. And the third speaker that we have is Jerry Lee, the director of the Mary Noel Office of Global Concerns. Jerry, can you share your thoughts, please?
Yes, thanks, Simone. So Mary Noel missioners live and work in urban slums and rural villages of the developing world where impoverished communities have been devastated by previous so-called free trade agreements. Trade must be mutually beneficial to all peoples, particularly those living in marginalized communities. Mary Knollers has seen firsthand the impact of these trade agreements, with the loss of small farms and sustainable jobs, families unable to afford medicines to save their children, and workers earning less than $2 a day. This is what Pope Francis calls an economy of exclusion and inequality. He writes that such an economy kills. How can it be that it is not a news item when an elderly homeless person dies of exposure, but it is news when the stock market loses 2 points? Trade agreements, as my colleagues have suggested, must reflect our democratic values and promote the common good. Mary Knoll opposes the fast-track process because it denies democratic participation in formulating trade agreements and promotes secrecy and the exclusion of which Pope Francis writes. We don't know what's in these trade agreements for which the president wants fast-track authority. They're secret. We do know that the impact of similar trade agreements such as NAFTA and CAFTA and what that have had on marginalized communities where we work. As a result of NAFTA, for example, an estimated 2 million corn farmers lost their livelihood, many of whom ended up as illegal immigrants looking for work here in the U.S. In Africa, 70% of the food is grown by women, subsistence farmers, who are the first to be impacted by the industrial agriculture promoted by these trade agreements. Trade agreements of the past have tried to limit important safeguards that protect access to affordable generic drugs as well, especially for developing countries. A 2010 study by the Peruvian government found that the monthly cost of one patented medicine needed to treat head and neck cancer is equivalent to 880 times the daily minimum wage in Peru, an amount that would take a worker more than 2 years to earn without a single day off. A generic version of the same drug is the only viable option to save the lives of many in developing countries. In Vietnam, 68% of Vietnam's eligible HIV patients currently receive treatment. But the U.S. proposed monopoly protections for pharmaceutical corporations in the Trans-Pacific Partnership would allow only 30% of Vietnam's HIV patients access to antiretrovirals. So as a result, an estimated 45,000 people with HIV in Vietnam who currently receive antiretroviral treatment would no longer be able to afford it. Of the little we do know that has been leaked about the TPP, access to medicine, we're very concerned that the economically poor will suffer if they do not have access to affordable medications and health care. Traditionally, fast-track authority is not consistent with democratic values of our country and the moral values of our faith communities. Any new grant of authority should allow for an open congressional process, ensure broad consultation and transparency, meaningful public participation, and require that Congress certify that negotiating objectives for labor and the environment have been met before the president signs any agreement. Trade, like the rest of the economy, must be a means of lifting up all people out of poverty and ensure a country's ability to protect the health, safety, and the well-being of their citizens and our planet. Thanks, Simone, for inviting us to join with you today.
Oh, thank you all. I would just add a couple of words at the end before we open it up for questions. And one of the things that I think is really important as a person of faith to note is that those negotiating the trade agreement, they're not evil, they're not conspirators. They are people adequately representing their own perspective. But one of the real problems we as people of faith know is that the perspective of those who are most often left out of our economy are not at the table. It is the voices of those adversely impacted historically by trade agreements that need to be considered as we move into the future. Our nation, the United States, has very poor immigration laws, but the free trade agreements both the North American Free Trade Agreement as well as the Central American Free Trade Agreement, have really even stressed those broken laws further because of the migration of people trying to find ways of supporting their family. The economic instabilities created by these free trade agreements are of dire consequence to our people in all over the area covered by these agreements. Now, people do have access to television. They have access to places where they think there's hope for a better future for their family. And we advertise the United States as a place of the dream. But the American dream becomes hope for many dislocated people, but then our nation fails to follow through on immigration reform. The combination of policies that cause the movement of people and our willful refusal to deal with the consequences of our policies by reforming immigration make for a morass where our nation is slipping further and further into a paralysis where we seem to fear democracy. So we're saying, as people of faith, the faithful way forward is to allow the voice of everyone to be at the table, to hear the stories of those left out of these agreements, and to make sure that for once we, the people, are forming a more perfect union for ourselves, for our neighbors around the world. That's why it is so critical that we stop Fast Track and that we open up conversation for the Trans-Pacific Partnership to include all the voices of those impacted. Thank you so much for joining us today. And let's now maybe, Kevin, we can open it up for questions from our participants.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. We'll pause a moment to allow questions to queue. We'll take our first question from Krista Hughes with Reuters. Your line is now open.
Thanks very much, and thank you for holding the call. Just wondered if you have any plans to raise awareness of this issue amongst the congregations of the various religious groups involved, and if there is any figures available on the size of the combined congregations of the groups which have signed this letter today, please. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Would each of you like to speak to what you're doing on the advocacy side of this?
Sure, I will. This is J. Herbert Nelson, Presbyterian Church USA. I just left Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on yesterday and spent a good bit of time with a group gathered there on both Saturday and Sunday, dealing with the issues of immigration. And I think, as Sister Simone has mentioned earlier, it is very difficult to not give some level of understanding that undergirds the immigration struggle that we're dealing with today. And I think one of them happens to be this issue of partnership agreements and particularly what we've done in the Global South. And that was a very lengthy conversation around trade agreements, and I also alerted those individuals to this call. Increasingly, as communities that I'm a part of and continue to travel a good part of the year, we'll be in Nebraska next week and Florida the following week. The recognition that this immigration issue does not operate in a vacuum, but does operate based on the flawed policies, particularly around issues of trade, commitments and promises that were made that were not followed through on with regards to corporations moving through these trade agreements to other countries and what benefits would be brought, and the tight controls of the governments by the United States and corporate money in particular that has been a measure of those governments not following through on the commitments of protecting their own people. And all of these issues somehow or another end up with countries bringing their children, coming to the border for economic freedom, but also in the most severe cases, sending their children alone for that same kind of economic freedom to our borders. And I think these are the type of deep connections that are being made through the types of travel and work that certainly we're attempting to do out of our office, so that issues like immigration are not seen in isolation of other issues such as unfair trade practices.
Michael, do you want to say about the UCC?
Sure. I think it's important to emphasize that, in addition to those of us on this call, this letter that we are speaking about today represents 35 different organizations and comes out of a working group here in Washington, D.C. called the Interfaith Working Group on Trade and Investment, which has worked for many years to lift up issues of economic justice and trade within the faith community. And so, within each of our traditions, we all have programs of education and advocacy that where we engage our congregations directly. In our setting, we have a minister for economic justice named Edie Russell, who has a network of members within our congregations that care about these issues and that work to educate their communities and also lift up their voices to policymakers. And so, I mean, I don't know if what the total number would be if you would add up the constituents of all the different groups that signed on to the letter, but it's in the tens of millions, I'm sure. So it's a, not everyone in our churches would agree with these statements, but it represents again, a consensus among the faith community that we as the national bodies of these communities have reflected deeply on issues of trade for many years and on the issues of fast-track authority and believe that these are the values that we believe that this process undercuts.
Well stated, well stated. Mm-hmm. Are we ready for another question, please?
We'll take our next question from Nate Madden with Catholic News Service. Your line is now open.
Well, hey there. I want to thank the entire panel for holding this press conference today. And there were some concerns raised at a congressional committee hearing a few weeks ago about human trafficking protections in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Has your working group and is that looked into that? Is that addressed in the letter? And could we each get a perspective about what your take on the human trafficking as far as issue is, as far as transparency in TPP and things of that nature?
Who on the panel would like to step up to that question?
Well, this is Gary with Mary Noel. I think the issue is of transparency most of all, because we don't really know. We know rumors, we know WikiLeaks of TPP in terms of how it's going to be treating human trafficking, but certainly it's a concern. I think for our folks, our Mary Nolers, in particularly in Southeast Asia and in Latin America, they see a lot of, they work a lot with the issue of human trafficking, and certainly trade policies have an impact on that, just as Dave Herbert and Simone have mentioned the impact of trade agreements such as the North American Free Trade Agreement on migrants from Central America, that impacts folks worldwide in terms of how people are trafficked. I think we forget sometimes that trafficking isn't only about sexual trafficking. It's also about labor trafficking, and it's a huge problem.
Thank you, Gary. Does anyone else on the panel want to weigh in on this? Okay, maybe we can move to the next question, please.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone, and we'll pause a moment to allow questions to queue. We'll take our next question from Adam Basuto with Politico. Your line is now open.
Yeah, I just have a question about whether a similar effort like this was mounted for previous trade agreements for NAFTA, the previous versions of Fast Track, and or even as recently as the Colombia, Panama, Korea deals. Is this sort of a unprecedented organization of faith groups, or is this sort of a similar effort from past years?
Well, I'll give an initial response to that, and then anyone else is welcome to join in. The faith community has collaborated on these issues ever since the North American Free Trade Agreement that I know of, and has worked to try to lift up the voices of those who would be adversely impacted. The difference now is that the coalition is much broader because we have more history. We have more documented evidence that these trade agreements adversely impact a large quantity of both our nation and the other nations involved. And so as the faith community knows their members are adversely impacted, then we stand up more strongly, we stand together, and have a broader reach. The 35 organizations that have signed on to our letter represent the Christian, Jewish, and Muslim communities who do advocacy at the national level, as well as have experience with experienced folks on the ground. So that combination then gives us added clout. Personally, my religious community, I'm a sister of social service, and we have sisters in Mexico who have been their families have been adversely impacted by NAFTA for years. And while we had the theory they were going to be adversely impacted when NAFTA was being discussed and Fast Track for NAFTA was being discussed, we now have data. And data compels us to stand up and say, not again. We will not be a party to this again. So we have a stronger coalition than ever, though we've been working on this for a long time. Do any of the other panelists want to add their perspective to this?
Yes, I'd like to weigh in on this. I think a part of getting back to something that Michael mentioned earlier, our offices, in a sense, represent much broader constituencies than just the office itself and those who are working here in Washington, D.C. During the Colombia Free Trade Agreement, we had a group within our church and several groups within our denomination to come to Washington and to be arrested in front of the White House in opposition to the Colombia Free Trade Agreement. Because of the vested interests of our denomination over the years with Colombia and doing accompaniment programs in Colombia. And the reports and also the visits made it very clear that there were significant labor violations and labor leaders being killed and pushing against what that agreement would do to further in a sense, violate the issues of labor and also the danger that it would bring to labor leaders. I believe it was 52 coffins were brought, actually made and brought, and placed in front of the White House, and arrests were made with regards to the Colombia Free Trade Agreement. We've been involved in trade for a very long time. However, what I would suggest is that all of those actions are not necessarily through what you are seeing now. Many of them have been from constituents within the denomination who have taken it upon themselves to be a part of this in relationship with our Washington office. And so this is not just an issue isolated to a signature for many of our denominations and groups that are signed and or a coalition in Washington, but how our constituents are responding and asking questions about trade agreements because of missionaries and other persons who are actively involved in many of these countries. It is impacting the denominations and also other religious and faith groups in a significant way because we have friends and we have partners who are in those countries that are going to be impacted.
Thank you. Maybe we could move to another question.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. And it appears we have no further questions at this time. I'll turn it back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you so much for being on this call today. Do any of our speakers from the panel wish to make any final remarks that you didn't get a chance to make at this point?
Simone, I'd just like to close by saying that I would hope that we would take the lessons from the past, the failure of NAFTA, the intense labor violations and struggles that we're seeing in Colombia, and those agreements that were not measured agreements in relationship to the least of these, and the ongoing struggle now of those who continue to be among the least of these in those countries, and the continuing struggle with individuals in large numbers as a result of the trade agreements. We press not for the issue of free trade, but for fair trade. And I think that's a great challenge right now in this nation, and certainly a great challenge that is represented by Fast Track if we do not see levels of transparency and also that will reaffirm the levels of engagement that will reaffirm the democracy that we profess in this nation.
Michael or Gary, any last words?
I think that was quite well said. I will simply add that as we have watched the negotiations happen on the Trans-Pacific Partnership in such secrecy and with such lack of transparency and accountability, I think that has continued to raise our concerns. As Jay Herbert said earlier, that we want to see the American people and poorest within our country and countries around the world be able to have a meaningful opportunity to participate in the creation of good policies. The economic trade agreements impact the economic life that binds us together as people. And it's incumbent upon us as citizens and as people of faith to see that these policies are created in a way that upholds the livelihoods of all God's creations. And right now, we do not see that happening, and it is incumbent upon us to speak out against it.
Gary, would you like to add a last word?
Well, I can't be as eloquent as Jay Herbert or Michael, but I simply would say that certainly we feel very strongly all of our traditions remind us that people have a right to participate in the important decisions that affect their lives and have a right to dignified work and participation in the creation of jobs and community life. And very much, I think, part of this process that we're in, the struggle that we're raising up in opposing Fast Track is simply bringing a more democratic our democratic values to the front in raising up that tradition and that sensitivity to the importance of participation of all in major decisions around trade that will impact not only the global economy, but impact marginalized communities that many of our faith community is serving around the world.
And in closing, I'd just like to thank you all for phoning in to our conversation around the Trans-Pacific Partnership and Fast Track as the way forward. We in the faith community oppose Fast Track because it goes against the democratic spirit of our community. We are concerned that those negotiating these trade the agreements do not represent the bulk of our people, and that it's the voice of those adversely impacted by these trade agreements that needs to be included. We have history now from prior agreements. We know what goes wrong. These are not panaceas for the world economy. In fact, we the people need to find a new way forward, and that's what we're advocating, that in the context of global trade, that we use democracy as being its strongest tool so that the voice of everyone can be heard. So thank you so much for joining us, and if we can follow up with other questions in the future, feel free to reach out. Thank you so much.